family generation. I had a great-great-grandfather.
Want to kind
he
of continue
a farmer
on.
Up in north want part to thank of, pastor, of Florida.
And for having us
had,
in.
He
thank
had come
him
to
for,
a community where there was no
the
Baptist
he has,
church. There
was
a
for being a blessing to us
community
while we're
church
here,
there.
Even
and
before
the
that,
Episcopalians, the Methodists, the Presbyterians all
men
met in the same
look up
building.
To their ministries as
every
men
time
nowadays,
they had a
just
chance
getting
once a month.
Men
and
that labor
wanted to set
in
up
the
a
word
church
and in doctrine,
for
men that are concerned about things
just
that
for Baptist people.
Most
he wasn't,
of society,
he wasn't a
most of Christian
but he was
society,
a farmer, he loved
has just
the Lord,
really forgotten.
He wanted to have a regular
that
place.
Instead,
for
you know what
the,
a lot of Christians want nowadays is they want something entertaining.
And so he donated about a couple acres of his land.
That you want hopefully
to
while
a church
you're here
to
get
started there
in Pensacola,
not to be
and invited a preacher to come down from Alabama and start preaching
in church to meet buddies.
And they got the church established.
That went on for years.
And so I do appreciate that.
Pretty prominent church there
getting,
in Pensacola.
It's getting more and more rare.
And you go forward
as
a couple
we travel around the country.
I'm a young boy.
I'm starting to see
that inside that church building.
Churches are
and
trying
I'm
to do
the preacher preaching on hell.
Programs.
It does. It
trying to set up things to entice people to come to church.
I was a sinner.
Trying to set up things that
go to hell.
Make people want
to
come out rather than the preaching and teaching of the Word of God.
I didn't want
to
go
that's
to
a
hell.
Sad day.
She opened
that's
her Bible
to
Acts
thing.
16,
but that's
verse 31.
What's going on
to
today
Lord
in America.
Right
so,
and so I got
I
saved
just,
to the young
thank
boy,
you guys
but I'm telling
for what
you that
do
story
here.
Because
my
great-great-grandfather
like
donated the land,
encourage
years and years later, I
about
got saved
what the Lord's
on that very
you.
Same land
this
that
in
he
Isaiah
really
chapter
laid
5,
up to
obviously
Lord
you should understand
given. He had no idea
from this
what
passage that it is
be.
A
and
Old
I
Testament
got saved
passage.
As a
he's talking
of that.
To the children of
and
Israel.
So that's a blessing
and
when
he's
I talk
given
about
them
mission
some
work, when I talk about
he's given them
wanting to be
some things, trying to get them to focus, trying to get them to wake up about some things that God's done for them. And
like
God shouldn't
what
really
happened.
Have
this
to do something
did.
That he does here in this
but
passage.
You guys know, and hopefully
but
you
find
know
him having
your,
to do it over and over
Bible,
again with the children of Israel. And
a lot
you
of
find
times
us,
you don't see
you know,
the
results I know
now.
My tendency many times
morning.
Is to look at the children
the
of Israel and just
morning,
really kind of
the
be like, are you guys
you may not see
serious
any results
are
still
you
the Lord
messing
back.
Up again?
And so that's
this,
a good example
like,
of that.
You know,
your grandchildren,
here
your great
great
grandchildren may benefit from some spiritual sacrifice you've been to you.
And
I look at that as part of my
time here on
to
this
see
earth
so many
to
good
in
things
missions.
God's done for them.
And
I've been
so blessed. I'll talk about this more.
And about that time, I start to consider that, and I start to look at that.
And God's getting on to
and
Israel.
I'd like
realizing
to try to
God's
spoil some other
Israel
people
in this passage.
Give them opportunity what I had. I was given the gospel at a young age.
He's getting on to me and saying,
I was given the right Bible at a young age. I was given the right doctrine at a young age.
Haven't I dealt with you very well? Haven't I dealt very gently with you?
Especially outside of this
country. And you know what? I stop and consider that.
We are,
think, you know what,
we are
God,
the
Huggins been
very
good
to missionaries
me.
Heading to Brazil.
There is no reason for me to stray.
And when
there
I talk
is
about
no
Brazil,
for me to get
it's
outside
a country
of your will.
It was discovered
you've given
here,
me everything
a
I
brief
need.
History,
but you know
by
as well
Portuguese
as I do, like the old song we sing, prone to
they
wander.
They were solid Roman
Lord,
Catholics.
I feel it. Prone
so
to
leave across
the God
with
I love.
You know what we're prone to do? You know what we're good at doing?
And what they did is they initiated the country. They
set
us up at a good place and
the Holy Cross.
Well, that lasted for a while
God
until Brazil got some independence.
He gives you everything you need.
They broke
and
free from Portugal eventually down the line. And
now,
but during
what
that
I want
time,
to do
they were
is
still
to show you some things about
Catholic.
The Lord and
they
show you some things here in this
came.
Passage.
You can see in this picture
about some
things that the Lord has done for
us.
They're called the sacrifice of the Mass.
Where
and
they
if
believe
you look down
they hold
this passage,
up a wafer,
look down
a
in
cookie,
verse 1
and say this is the body and
Isaiah
blood
chapter
of Christ
5
and
verse
it.
1 he says
in hope that they get eternal life
now
and
will
hope
I
that
sing to
heaven.
My well beloved a
well,
song
the
of my beloved
really
touching his vineyard
so much, so they had to
my
blend
well beloved
some of
hath a vineyard and a very fruitful
with Catholicism
hill.
You'll see what happens
and he fenced
that
it and gathered out the
but
stones
that's Brazil that's
planted it with the choicest vines
it didn't start with
the tower in the midst of
thanking God for a good provision
and also made a wine press therein and he looked that
it
should bring
sacrifices of a pagan religion
brought forth
under
the
label
wild
of Christianity.
And now
and so
the inhabitants of Jerusalem
about.
And men
now,
of Judah,
when they broke free
judge,
from
I pray you,
Portugal, they set up their own country
vineyard.
In 1889.
What
they wanted
been,
to be like a country.
What could have been
and
done more to my vineyard
that they're burning the flag now and they're
not done in
you know, pledging allegiance
wherefore,
to it now, but,
when I
but
looked
everybody
that it should
should
bring
know
forth,
what this flag
brought
looks
forth,
like.
Wild
wrong
grapes.
Colors. But
now,
at least they were
that
trying
passage
to
right there
kind of
gives you a
they were trying to set up a country
summation
like
about what
to
the Lord Jesus
get
Christ
a
has done.
They're trying to get
for
a republic going
when
with
you
the
when you consider everything And when you stop and think about what the Lord really has done for us in our lives,
fell apart.
All those good things, when the Lord comes down and he checks
Brazil
out
has this, great coastlines, they have great vineyards, they have strong men,
and what he does, he looks down after all this
had.
Provision and all this thing he's done,
like
and he looks at it and says, why isn't it bringing forth?
I've already showed you their history.
What I planned for it
They started with the Roman Catholic Church.
What more could I have done for it?
And with religion.
And that's what we'd like to get into, but before we get into that,
Very
let's go ahead and open
difference.
Up here in prayer.
And so that's why they fell apart. Religion
Lord,
will
I thank
get you
for
nowhere.
This day. Thank you for
so
the opportunity
why we're going
to be here with your people.
To show them
Lord, we need,
everything in life,
your cleansing.
Nothing
we need
about
your
life
washing,
that's good
Lord,
is found in religion.
To make us even acceptable in your sight, Lord.
And that's what we're there
all
to
our
show.
Righteousness is as filthy
to modern day Brazil,
Lord,
this is what it looks like. This is an airplane flight over São Paulo.
Lord, we pray that there would be something that takes place here tonight.
There's over 200 million people in Brazil.
Something that you would want to come down here and meet with us about.
It's the fifth largest country in the world.
Lord, I pray that hearts would turn to you.
From a third world country.
That the ones that are
so that, you get the
considerate of you and love you, I pray that they would grow
you know,
in their love
God
towards
you. Guys weren't stuck in that
and Lord,
today.
We pray that you just be with
that's
us
what
now.
They have
Lord,
as
if there's
advance.
Any way.
They advance
send your son
socially,
to come back and get
they
us and take us home
economically,
to be with you.
But they do not
We'd
advance
love for
spiritually.
To be with you.
And so what you have is a lot of these Brazilians are moving in towards the cities.
Amen.
Trying to get in and get established
right,
and get
so the
good
first
money
thing
in
I just
want to cities.
Mention here in this passage,
that ends up
first
causing
thing
a lot
I want to mention
crime,
there
a lot of violence,
is the providing
of the sin that you see
in the
bigger cities.
The providing
so
in the vineyard. Right there you notice in that
incarceration rate. They have over 700,000
that he prepared that in a very fruitful hill.
It is a violent
He prepared that in a very fruitful hill. Now,
it only follows
I don't know what
China
other hill you know
as
of
as
that's very fruitful.
Rate.
The most fruitful
so
hill I know
deal
of
there
is a hill
that.
Called Calvary.
And Lord willing,
that's
we'll
the
work
most
with
fruitful
the people there.
And you stop and consider that.
Well,
think about
Brazil.
Your life.
This is
think
Brazil.
About your
this
life.
Is the country.
Now,
it's
what was your life
almost,
before you
every
met
other
Jesus
country
Christ.
In South America except for
what,
Ecuador
what would your life consist of? What would your life be today
when you look
if
at
it
the
wasn't for
Brazil,
Jesus Christ?
This part here
if you were to really be honest with yourself,
Amazon,
it'd be
a mess.
And that's not,
you'd,
you know,
be wasted.
Going
you'd
home
probably
some of you guys
and
wouldn't be here alive.
Mail. This is
probably some of you would be laying
river,
up in a hospital
Amazon
bed
rainforest.
Somewhere, maybe
a huge
on an overdose
Brazil.
Or something like that.
About,
maybe with your back broke, maybe some
country.
Foolishness went on.
We
that's
are
where
looking
be
to be down
Christ.
In this area where the
now,
populace
when you talk
is
about
settled,
a fruitful hill, I can't
here
think of a more
Paulo,
fruitful hill than
20 million
that.
People right there.
Then the hill
there's
called Calvary.
14 million people right
how much
there.
That saved me from, how much that spared me from the grief of this life
missionary
is just knowing Jesus Christ loved me enough to die for me.
And so when I talk about
now,
Brazil,
this is
about.
That's the providing of the vineyard.
This is what you normally
you know what? Jesus Christ provided that long before we knew about it. Jesus Christ provided his sacrifice there at Calvary long before we had any awareness of it.
What happens is
and you know
the,
that was a dirty
people
work.
Move into the
you
big
think
cities.
About that.
They
think about Jesus Christ having to bear all our
up,
sins
try to
on
build
the cross in his own body.
And then try to get a job.
That's a dirty work.
But
the,
what ends
my dad
up happening
used to like
is the kids
and gardening and things
that.
Like that. And he would
they
do
don't
some
find
stuff.
A job,
he'd
so they end up turning into
make
violence.
This concoction
and
call it manure tea.
And a lot of the kids
obviously get the idea it's not something you'd serve your guests.
Forced from their home.
The dinner table.
And what happens is a lot of the kids just live on the street.
But this manure tea, he let it sit there as a concoction,
estimate of
and it'd sit there and it'd get all, he'd grab like a shovel full of it and dump it in a 5 gallon bucket.
I wasn't raised
and
like
that.
That
stuff would just
I never
ferment
slept
for about three
or
4 months
it was for fun,
out there
for
in the
camping.
Sun down in that
it
Florida
wasn't
heat.
By, force.
And then we go crack
the
lid off of that thing.
And so the Lord's been good to
and
me
would,
and I'd like to
reek.
I mean,
it'd smell up
the
whole garden. It'd be smelling all the neighbor's house, everything.
And then just
that stuff was awful. But you know what it did?
But
what
I talk about
is that manure tea got out
they go around they try to do whatever they can. To try to
really
make a
help
living.
Those plants to
and
grow and
when
thrive.
I get this, I usually tell
and
you guys,
you know what,
this
it was
is
a
the
nasty
kind of
work.
Beggar
you know,
you can
we were getting out there. My dad
worst
would have us out there shoveling
somebody
that
stuff
and
go to a church,
diluting it
and
stuff
do
like
all
that,
the things that the church tells them to do.
And you'd bend
they'll
down there with a shovel and you'd get that shovel out
pray with the rosary.
And you start shoveling
our fathers, all the things that
they're and you grab a little shovel full of that
and
try to flop it on there. You know what happens when you got a bucket of water and
they go home just as lost as they
can. Sloshing all over the place.
That's the worst
getting all over your clothes. It's getting all over.
Beggar comes to Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
you
try
know
to wash that stuff off
life.
For hours, you know.
He gives
and you go inside and try to eat a sandwich.
That doesn't happen in a
like
religion.
Manure tea sandwich.
And so our
it's
job
nasty.
Would be there to turn
know,
these
dirty
people
work.
Away from their dark religion.
But you know, that's what
and
Jesus
turn them
Christ
to
had to do. So when I talk about our religious makeup, about 65% of Brazilians now
are Roman Catholic.
He had to get his
hands dirty.
It's still the largest Roman Catholic country in the world by population.
With his stripes, we were healed.
But even with that, through the last several decades, since 1970, their numbers have declined drastically in Brazil because
is Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary.
So I'm talking about the providing, the provision of this vineyard.
Able to be a missionary
he provided very well. Now what about this country?
In the 1970s. That
you
want to
think about the country that God provided for you. Where could you have
Roman
been born
Catholic to now
on this
65%.
You guys, any one of you here could have been born in Saudi Arabia.
While
Rome
is losing the grip there.
How would your life have been different
if
say you were born in Iran?
But the sad fact is we're losing our pace.
How
the
Protestants
your life are rising. They're up to 22%.
Would you be sitting in a church
building
with your soul saved and heading to
Pentecostal?
Or do you think
the
you'd
agnostics
be some Muslim
and the
atheists
under this non-religious category, they're
bowing down towards Mecca
because Brazil's getting more educated.
What do you think would be happening with you?
And
thank
so that's
God
what's taking
born
place. Spiritism,
the gospel is
that's
free
something that's
and open
found
to
in the
you
headquarters there in Brazil.
That's what took
they
place.
They believe in basically
and
doing
so
good.
So that's what we're talking about, the provision
this life,
of this vineyard, the provision. You've been given a great country.
A better person.
This lady, her name was Irina.
And so that headquarters of that is in Brazil.
She was one of those ladies. She was born in the Soviet Union and Russia during the communist days.
All your pagan religions,
and she ended up getting saved by reading an old Slavic Bible.
All the other
and she got a hold of Bible in one of those libraries there in Russia and started reading that
category
thing, and she ended up getting saved and started
so when
going
the
there to a Russian
it,
Orthodox
look,
church.
It says in this passage,
and those, the KJB
no
sent some men out there to
soul
spy on them.
And you know what? That's
and those men spied on them.
Brazil.
They found out she
they
was the real, you know, the real deal,
their
a real Christian.
Do not care.
You know, they found out
their
what she was doing, and they ended up imprisoning her
off of them
for her belief
not
in Christ.
For their soul.
And they threw
Jesus
her in
Christ
jail, and they threw
soul
her in jail, and
he cared not to die
she was in
for
one of those Russian prisons
though
in
he
Siberia.
For our sake became
and
poor.
They wouldn't give her any
that's
any
they
clothes
need to know,
hardly
not
at all
that,
to sleep with. She ended up getting just a thin linen gown.
When I talk
to sleep
about
with
Roman
at night,
Catholics,
get
I know
sometimes almost freezing at night.
So much, but
and she'd sit there and have to shiver.
They
and those communists told her, they said, well,
the
all you have to do is renounce
these
Christ.
These are wax
we'll
body parts,
free.
Wax
all you have to do
bones,
is turn down Christ
hearts,
and we'll let you go. And Irina
heads,
never did.
Wax legs
in,
down there.
In fact, so much to
and
where one day when she was
in the Catholic Church
in the jail there, she woke up and her
part of the body
would just
pound
in her
Catholic
head.
Cathedral,
she had a
swollen
cheek and she had an abscess
Brazil
tooth.
You purchase
and
these
she's
wax body
parts. Calling out to the guard and begging him to send her to
the
dentist and they say,
over these body parts and
we'll gladly help you out.
And then
and
if you
so they
don't
took
have
off
enough
there,
faith, guess what?
Sure enough, they brought her out there to the
money
dentist, and you know
that's
they set her
about
down in the chair and they
and
strap her
by
in
chance,
and everything like
happens
that.
And you start
and those
feeling better.
Communist,
you're supposed to come back and
those
give
communist
an
folks
of
ended up
what
extracting
they
that tooth
without
so any
an offering, a miracle, one
drilling
is
on
the
it
offering
and yanking on it,
so
pulling on it. While
they're not
abscess
in it for their soul at all.
Just because she was a Christian
and no
just because she did what you do right now.
That's the religion they have.
Nothing else.
And so we're there to,
so you
to show
say, well,
them
thank
that
God
Jesus
Christ
in this
does
country
care. You say, when was that? Back
now,
in the
when we talk about
ages,
that, this passage really
no, that was
brings out what Christ is concerned
President
with
Reagan
Brazil
heard about her situation.
You know the passage
and
is
went over and negotiated
you
with Gorbachev.
When he saw the
her
multitude,
release,
he was moved.
And she ended up going back to London.
Rage,
she ended up going
his,
back to England
his
with
look
her
of her sin. He was moved with compassion.
You know what she said?
Because they were scattered.
She said, you know what, being a Christian,
sheep, having no shepherd,
in Soviet communist Russia is not a very pragmatic
plenish
thing to do.
But the labors are few.
You know,
pray
think about that.
Lord,
what does
the harvest
it cost
that send forth
labor
Christian in this
into
country
his harvest?
What
that's what we ask you guys to do is pray
maybe
for
a little bit of shame
to get over there and be
family
able to labor in that
maybe
harvest
from some coworkers.
It's a place
or something
of
like
need
that
there in Brazil.
You haven't been in thrown in prison.
And we ask for the Lord's compassion like he had
in this country
on these Brazilian
God's provided for you very well.
This missionary
and so when
here,
I think about that, that's a blessing of God's provision.
A blessing of God's provision that he's given
to us. The Lord opened a door for me.
Not only that, you think about what church you've been made
an
a part of.
Prayer, we ended
think
up
about
getting
that your pastor
saved
points
last
you to the authority
service
of the Word of God.
This man right
not
here,
to him.
I'd been praying
he
that
you
the Lord
to the authority of the Word of God,
to
not your
emotions. Get saved during that service.
You know what? That's how most religions work
nowadays. Saved.
Christian
I had
denominations,
tried to get
that's
back
how they
Brazil
work
a couple times.
And
there,
you know
and
what?
The
that's
Lord
a blessing
kept
to get that.
Kind of shutting the door on me there.
I read this lady,
with
her account, she was a designer.
And I didn't know why.
Her name was Joyce Simpson. She was a designer in Atlanta.
Later,
and she had a profession that she had gotten saved. It was a real weak, watery profession. I don't put much stock in it at all.
So
she said she had gotten saved. And she joined a church there in Atlanta, and she had a problem. She says, well, I want to do more for God. I want to serve God more. But I just don't know what he wants me to do. And I just I was looking for God to show me what he wants me to do. And she said in her testimony, she said, one day I found out exactly what God wanted me to do. I was driving down the road in Atlanta. I was driving down the highway. And I looked up and I saw a billboard. And in that billboard, I saw the face of Christ.
And so that was a great blessing.
Describe what it was. It was
also what the Lord did for me is
spaghetti commercial
on the
billboard. And she said the spaghetti was drooping down, and she just saw
that was a blessing to me. We got married in 2008,
and she knew she was to quit her career and go be a professional singer
to whatever the Lord would have us to do
in the church.
We got to do some ministry with my dad, travel around the country doing some prison work.
Driving down the road,
we got to do some of our own ministry,
find out the will of God in your life, right?
Our own jail ministries,
where God spoke from.
Right from the Word of God.
Basically, the
now,
Lord opened
where
up
did
to
you
us
learn
to
that?
Do.
We would go
somebody
through and do whatever
that.
He had
somebody
us to
put
do.
Your confidence
and
in
so
that,
that
book.
Continued on.
Instead of
our
your
burden for
Brazil
was
still
there.
You
Another
thing
God
the Lord
things.
Did for me was
so that's what we're talking
what
about.
See
the
here
provision.
Was
how
my dad
was
provided very
artist.
Well for you.
And he would do that
place.
While he preached.
Now, not only that, he did some protecting.
Me,
if you look back
you
to Isaiah,
thing.
And verse 2,
I didn't like
it says, and he fenced it.
You know, much less.
He fenced it. You know what God did in that
time.
Protecting? Is he,
but that
he
was something
protected
the Lord kept putting
you
on my heart,
from some things.
And
he put a hedge about
you.
He protected you and fenced you.
I had no idea why.
You know what teenagers don't like
later. Once I started
teens
to try
don't
to
like
do some chalk
that,
talks
that
and
wall
like
of
that.
Protection. They don't. They want to get rid of that as soon as they can, so they can go do and be whatever
to put
they want to be.
Toolbox to
they don't realize that's
to
for their own good.
Some things that he
but
wanted
you know
me
what,
to have
that protection
that
also works for the adult.
And
that protection also works for
the
grown up.
Of Brazil, there
trying to get rid of God's walls of protection, his fences.
In 2016,
you know, God separated
you.
He separated
you
for a
traveling up and down the streets.
Back
they
in 1891, I don't know,
on the
know how well
everywhere.
This goes on, but Dr.
We ended up
James
to see,
Naismith,
a bunch of people come out to
in
church
December of 1891.
Come out to church
he was
Brazil.
He was a regular doctor, but he was also a worker at the YMCA. And he did something kind of revolutionary.
Saved,
in fact, you guys did some of this
and
afternoon.
Paulo and Gabriel,
but what he ended up doing
sons,
was
saved.
He started noticing that all his boys during the wintertime, they were just kind
of
really getting some bad trouble during the wintertime.
And then the last
and he realized
night,
they were really getting in trouble, not because they were necessarily bad kids, but they just didn't really have much to do.
And so
they
was
were always getting
see,
in trouble, and he couldn't really figure out something for him to do, so he
purpose.
Invented a new sport.
We also got to
and
do
and
some
that
street
sport,
work.
What he did is he got some guys, he told
out.
The janitor, go get you
got
a
to see the
crate,
people's tender heart,
you know, a basket of orange
stop
crate
and talk to you.
Over
they
in the kitchen,
to
and
find
we want
out
to bring it over here to the auditorium,
their auditorium,
what you were
going to
show them
from
above 10 foot high. And he
nailed these crates
up on the wall.
Try to find somebody in America
put them up about
10
foot high, and
we got to see
back
that Brazil.
The janitor couldn't
we got
get
to
any
deal with people on the street,
had
do some street preaching, and hold up
scripture banners.
And so they
set these baskets up on the rail.
This young man here,
his name was Umberto.
There's 13 different rules.
He came across the street,
and he ended up coming up with a game called basketball.
We ended up getting saved that day.
He used a soccer ball to run.
Also got to see another lady, Sandra,
and the game
get
of basketball
well,
that same day
while
we're out
claimed to invent
preaching there in
because
the square.
He was trying to keep the kids out
so
of trouble.
That was a blessing
to
get
to
see.
Keep them off the street, to keep
but
them away
the
from
with
the
that
things
is that
that's
they shouldn't be getting
into
their
age.
Saw.
And you know
like,
what? That's
like
a good
the Lord
thing.
Said, the harvest
it
truly
separated
is plenteous,
them from some activities
the
they should
are
be doing.
Pray therefore,
you know what? Sometimes
it's
one of the good things to get your kids doing some sports and doing some things to keep them out of trouble.
God is not willing that any should perish.
You can also make that
sport
a trouble itself. You can make
this
that
is what
sport
we don't
God
like
God
to see.
Your kid.
And
that can also be
here,
a trouble.
Jeremiah says, the
we're talking about
is passed,
some separation.
The summer is ended.
He fenced
and we are
it
not
there.
Saved.
Not only did he fence it,
that's
he also sanctified
there.
It.
When the
he
Lord
gathered out
back,
the stones thereof. You know what
was
happened?
Our job to reach.
Is we're here in
all
this
of
age.
You guys can't go down to Brazil.
In this age, in this church,
you
know what? We have a lot of the stones.
The Lord's called us.
A lot of the hard theology, a lot of the difficult passage that you find in the Word of God. You know what? Somebody's gone through.
We need laborers
dealt
with
those places.
Somebody's gone through.
84
and
million
gathered out the
Brazilians
stones
are
if they're following what their
aren't you
religion
glad
teaches
you know
them
about eternal
that
security?
Are dying and going to hell.
Aren't you glad that you can
million.
Lay your head
it's
on your pillow tonight
you
knowing
really
that you have your confidence
and
not
I
in what a man
an explanation
says,
to help you
not in what a preacher says, but in what the Word of God
if you were
says.
To take a handful of
you
sand
know you can have eternal life because
all
you
the
believe
of
on Christ.
And one handful of
you know what? That's a blessing.
That
for generations and generations, many Christians doubted their salvation. They always thought, well, I got saved by grace through faith, but I got to keep it. to even come close to 184 million.
That's a stone somebody gathered up out of your life and gave you the right doctrine through the Word of God.
The harvest is plenty.
Thank God for that. That protection.
But the labors are few.
Now you can go out and do more for Christ.
And so we ask you guys to pray for us.
Now, not only did he sanctify and gather those stones out, but he supported it.
It says there in the passage in Isaiah, verse 2,
obviously learn the language. We
want to meet
them where they're at.
We want to learn their culture.
Planted it with the choices
vine.
You thank God that you ended up in a Bible believing
church,
not have them stand off
from us. That you
be
around
Bible believing
brethren
that will encourage you to grow for Christ.
We want to
encourage you to get more like the world.
Right now, the Brazilian heart is soft.
That's a protection.
Right now, they're still
open to the gospel.
Thank God for that.
You've seen it through probably
your
own lifetime.
Now, not only the providing, the protecting, but also the producing. Look back at Isaiah chapter 5.
We'd like to reach them while we can.
Isaiah chapter 5.
Train national ministers with that.
And
the best
down
people
there in
I
verse,
know, I say all the time, the best people to reach Brazilians is Brazilians.
2, the end of the verse,
the very
he
best
says
ones.
At the,
the
end, he says, and he looked
here in this town
that it should bring forth grace.
And so we'd like to train our own people,
wild
train
grace.
The Brazilians to go out and reach
you know
their
what
own.
Happens
and
one day?
Happens to us, they kick us out of the country.
One day, somebody's going to come by your vineyard, and they're going to check your vineyard out, and he's going
to
check your vineyard out to see what kind of fruit you're bearing.
Then finally, establish
most Christians worry about.
You
most
guys
Christians
have
worry about
here.
What are the
whether
brethren
you, whether
think?
Whether you know it or not, whether
what
you realize
does the brethren
or not,
think
I'll
how
talk
spiritual
about it a little bit
I am
later here? But
what do they
a
think about
church,
my Christian life?
Out of the
and you know what?
And
when it comes down to
nice
it, it doesn't matter.
We
live as
comfortably as we can here.
It does not matter.
Fear of persecution.
You know what matters?
Without any type of worry at all,
inspect
is a blessing.
And you know
Christ.
We have
he's
that liberty
one
to do it in this country.
Really try to impress.
And we get blessed from
not
it. I got saved in a
you
local
know what happens
church. I met my wife in a local
the
church.
The Bible tells you
I
comparing
right
themselves
the
among themselves.
It has
is
benefited
not
me greatly.
One
to
of
have
the most foolish things you can do
access.
Is start looking
and
at each
like
other here in this church building and saying, "Well,
I
don't do what so and so does. They're not here such and such time. At least I'm here more than they are. I carry my Bible and I witness a little more than them, and I do this a little better than they do."
So we ask
you,
you guys again
you,
to pray for us.
Wise.
We are the Huggins.
You're
and
acting
we do
just
thank
as foolish as a drunk
time.
Guy
thanks for having
down
us
the
in.
Street.
Because you're comparing yourselves among yourselves. It's not wise. You know who you compare yourself to as a Christian? The Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on him. He's the only one that's going to come by and
ready
inspect
whenever.
Your vineyard. He's the one that's going to come by and look into your mm-hmm. vineyard and check out and see
anybody
what you've been
questions?
Doing. You know what happens when you start comparing yourselves among yourselves? You start feeling discouraged because you know what you do? You say, well, I can't do what brother or sister so-and-so can do. I can't cook a meal like them. I can't sew like them. I can't do this and that like they can. And you know what you do? Instead of doing what you can do, you know what you do? Absolutely nothing. Because you can't do what so-and-so does. You can't do what Mr. So-and-so or brother or sister so-and-so does. So you do nothing. Because you're comparing yourselves among yourselves. Instead of saying, God, what did you give me to do? Show me what to do and I'll do it. That's what God wants from you. He doesn't want what somebody else can do. He wants what you can do. If all you can do is pass out a track a day, that's all you can do. Thank God for it and do it. Don't stop saying, well, I don't get to preach in front of an auditorium of 1,000 people. You got an audience of one getting a gospel track out. Do what you can do. Stop worrying about what you're not able to do. There was a man, his name was Bob Wiseland. Bob Wiseland was one of those unique characters of history where Bob Wiseland was a great athlete. He went off and fought in the Vietnam War, and he came back from that Vietnam War broken and battered and wounded. And you know, it really didn't discourage and stop his spirit of fight inside of him. And Bob Wiseland, even after the war, he came in and he entered into all kinds of races and everything. And he ended up getting in a triathlon and all these kind of things. And Bob Wiseland, everybody was just amazed at Bob Wiseland's just desire not to give up. And to any other athlete, it wouldn't be a big deal. But the unique thing about Bob Wiseland was Bob Wiseland in Vietnam got wounded so bad that he landed on a mine and it blew off both the bottom parts of his legs. But yet he still did a triathlon. He still ran a marathon. He still did the Ironman competitions. And you say, how in the world did he do that? How in the world did he do a marathon with no legs? Well, he walked on his hands. Walked on his hands. Ran on his hands. You know what Bob Wiseland did? He didn't look at what he didn't have. He didn't say, well, I don't got any legs anymore. I can't run any race. You know what he says? I still got my hands. I can still do something. I can still keep in the race. You know what your problem is, Christian? Is you're looking at what you don't have. You're looking at maybe what God has possibly taken from you and saying, God, I'm not going to serve you now because you've taken this. Instead of looking at what's gone, look at what God's given you. Look at what you have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with. And you know what? It'll be to his glory. You know what? You know what? God gets more glory out of you, not when things are going perfect, not when things are going smoothly, not when things are, you know, going great so much, and then you're standing up there and you're saying, well, praise the Lord and thank God and all that. You know what? That glorifies him somewhat. But you know where God gets the most glory from? Is when things are kind of falling to pieces, when things are kind of getting worn out in your life, where things are just really not going the way you've planned, and you know what? It's really not the way you wanted your life to be. And you know what happens when God gets the most glory? Is when you raise your hand up to heaven and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That gives him more glory than all the riches he dumps on you and the blessings and says, okay, it's easy to praise God and his blessings. Now, how about praising God in the wine press? You notice in that passage there in Isaiah, you know what God put in that vineyard? He put a wine press. What do you do with a wine press? What do you do when you get a wine press? Well, you take the very best grapes you have, the very best of your vineyard, and you put it in that wine press, and you start to squeeze on them and get to see all the good stuff comes out for the master of the vineyard. That's what the wine press is for. And you know what? Sometimes God puts you in the wine press not to punish you, but so he gets more glory out of you than he would any other way. And you know what? That's what the Lord does. That's the producing of this vineyard. You know what he wants to see? He wants to see good grapes. But you know what he saw in this vineyard of Israel? You know what he saw? It didn't bring forth good grapes. You know what it brought forth? It brought forth wild grapes. It brought forth wild grapes. And then you look at the passage. Look over to Isaiah 5 again and see what happens. When God sees what the wild grapes that comes forth from this vineyard, what does he do? Not just the producing, but it's the pondering of this vineyard. Look in verse 4 there. What does the Lord say? What could have been done more to my vineyard? You know what the Lord does? The Lord comes by there and he looks at all these provision. He looks at all this protection, and then he looks and sees what you've produced. And what does he say? What could I have done more for you? Could I have given you a better life? Could I have given you a better salvation? Could I have given you better health? Could I have given you a better church? What more could he have done? Think about that, Christian. What more could Jesus Christ have done for you than he's not already done already to get you to serve him and bring forth good fruit? If you're honest, like I would with myself, I'd say, Lord, you know what? There's nothing better you could have done in my life to get me to produce good fruit. It's my own rebellion. Nothing he did. So you know what happens is the pondering of that vineyard. He wonders what more could be done. What more could be done in that vineyard? So after he gets done with that, after the pondering of the vineyard, what takes place is but the punishing of this vineyard. What happens is the punishing of that vineyard. To see that, it's a unique thing. You look there in verse chapter 5. Look down there in verse 5. You notice the punishing of this vineyard is a very unique type of punishment. It's the worst kind of punishment I believe a Christian could ever get. You know what happens is God just simply takes his hand off of this people here. He says in verse 5, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command that the clouds, that they rain no rain upon it. You know what the worst thing the Lord does? The worst thing the Lord does is just simply take his hand off of your life. You know what you should be afraid of? It is not necessarily the punishment of God, but God just stopped dealing with you entirely. God just removing that hedge out of your life and saying, okay, you want to enjoy the world? Then I'm just going to let you go at it. I'm going to let you get into the world. You want to have fun. If you want to let grow whatever you want in your life, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let those briars and thorns grow up in your life. And you'll be pulling them out the rest of your life. You know what the Lord's doing? He's saying, I'm protecting you for your own good. I'm keeping you out of trouble for your own good. If you desire to get in the trouble, you know what he'll do? He'll take his hands off and let you get in it. That's the worst thing he can do for you, is let you have your way 100%. And you know what? That's what he does. And the worst part of it is that passage there, it says in verse 6, you know what happens? After he pulls out that negative, he doesn't prune it anymore. He lets those thorns and briars come up. You know what? He commands the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. You know what happens in this vineyard is when it comes time and the rain comes by and everything in the clouds form and everything like that, you know what he does? He commands that that rain doesn't come. He commands that it rain no rain upon it. You know what ends up happening is that vineyard can be surrounded by the clouds and yet not a drop of water falls on it. What is a type of water in your Bible? Well, it's a type of the Word of God. And what happens is so many Christians, you know what happens? They'll come to church and they'll kind of get tired of the preaching. They'll kind of get worn out with the preaching. And you say, why is that? Because the preacher is just not exciting. He's just not entertaining enough. No, because God sent those rain clouds over and he says, stop raining on them. Because they wanted to get out in the world. They wanted to break down those walls and let the thorns and briars come in. You know what? Why don't you enjoy Bible preaching? It's not the preacher's fault. It's your fault. That's whose fault it is. So you know what? That's the worst judgment God can do, is just take his hands off and not let the rain come down upon you. That's the punishing of the vineyard. But you know what? That's not what God intends. You know what God intended the whole time? You know what God wanted the whole time? You know what he wanted to see? Is that good fruit come forth? You know, especially you young people here, you know, you've been given a great opportunity. Every single one of these older people will line up and tell you, don't get into the world. It's never worth it. The Bible tells you, be sure your sin will find you out. It's not worth it. They're dealing with things nowadays that they wish they'd never done when they were your age. And so you know what? The warning is, the admonition is the Lord's given you a great opportunity. Lord's given us all a great opportunity. He's asking, like it says there in verse 4, what more could have been done in my vineyard? What more could he do to get your life to live for him? That's what I ask you here, in and out here today in this message. Is there something more God can do for you to get you on track for him? Is there something more God can do for you to have you to serve him? If you're honest with yourself, there's nothing. He's given you everything you need to serve him. Now the question is, are you bringing forth good fruit? Are you bringing forth wild grapes? That's the question. All right, let's pray. Lord, again, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercies. Lord, thank God that you renew them every morning. Thank you that you give us a chance, that you don't pile up our iniquities, that you give us an opportunity to be washed and cleansed in your blood, that you renew those mercies every day. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take advantage of those mercies. Lord, I pray that especially for these young people here today, Lord, that they would understand the seriousness that you've allowed them to enter into this life and have all the benefits and blessings that you've given to them. Lord, help them not to take it for granted. Help them to realize all the good things they have. Lord, help us all, us older folks, to do something for you. Help us to bring forth good grapes while we have the time, Lord. And we do pray that you'd hasten that day. You'd send your son back to come and get us. And Lord, we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.